touchdown!
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye! Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed!
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown! Taysom Hill! Taysom TD!
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
Howdy, Hootettes. Welcome Inside Black and Gold. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak, bringing you our post-mini camp edition. The last 3 days have been fun out at Saints camp, and man, that last day, Jeff, from morning till the end of practice, there was just constant news cycle flowing in.
Drama.
You could say that.
Drama. It was kind of, you know, it was funny because the first 2 days of mini camp, I'm glad we, you know, I debated doing an episode on after Wednesday's practice, like a live episode, but I'm glad I didn't, because if I did, I would have been like, oh, Alvin looks so bought in, and Juwan, you know, he hasn't been there, but it'll be fine. And then all that all went to shit. And I think that's just a good example of how quickly things can change in news cycles. And
yes,
you know, we're gonna talk a lot about that. But yeah, the drama really cranked up on Thursday. We had, I don't know what you can't call it a holdout. I do wonder if you're gonna end up with a fine for Alvin, because
I would think so.
He left practice on Thursday after the walkthrough, you know, did not talk to his head coach about it. And that's what made the situation so interesting when you kind of got it. It was like, hey, what was the deal with Alvin? I don't know. I haven't talked to him. That's what Dennis Allen said.
It's so odd, too, that he comes in for the walkthrough and then takes off.
It's not a good bite. Well, it's like he went there just enough to make sure everyone knew he was there and then was not. And it came out that it's about a contract. His agent confirmed that. So we're going to talk a lot about that in this segment. We're going to talk a lot about what happened at minicamp as well. But this first segment, we're going to talk about, okay, so there's I have three bad newses and two good newses. The first good news is that there's only two bad newses.
Hey.
Yeah. So we'll get into that. It's going to be talk about Juwan Johnson. We're going to talk about Chase Young. And we're going to talk about Alvin Kamara. So big names. Big names. We're going to talk about Marshawn, but that's going to be in the second segment, which we're going to kind of go through our notes from the entirety of the minicamp. You know, what stood out? Yeah, you know, where did this offense and this defense seem to thrive? Where do we see some more work needed? Who struggled? That sort of thing. Then the final segment, we're going to dive into, okay, what are our biggest questions remaining as we kind of hit the break between, you know, minicamp and training camp, which the next time we see this team will be out in California. So it's going to be a lot that happens between now and then, at least in terms of the news cycle, not in terms of player practices. So first things first, you know, a position on this team that I wouldn't have qualified as particularly deep going in suddenly becomes very concerning. And that's tight end with Juwan Johnson. You know, we talked to Dennis Allen about the injury. He's dealing with a foot injury. The way he kind of framed it was, okay, we can't point to any specific time where Juwan hurt his foot. It just kind of developed over time. I tweeted that and everyone's like, well, what does that mean? I mean, that's not that uncommon. These guys play through kind of aches and pains all the time. You know, it sounds like something to do with a stress fracture or anything like that. Like you don't want to assume, but when you're dealing with injuries that kind of crop up over time, a lot of times it's that type of injury, a ligament that you want to make sure you clean up. And it's usually good that they catch it prior to, okay, well, you continue to play through and it gets worse and worse and worse. But Juwan Johnson is going to have surgery on that foot. He's going to keep him out a good amount of time. We don't know how much time, but I doubt he'll be ready for the start of training camp. So, you know, then you look at the rest of that room and you're talking about Foster Moreau, Dallin Hulker, Michael Jacobson, Tommy Hudson, who has not been there. And what are you going to do there? I don't know. It's concerning. And it's
because the free agent market isn't fantastic either.
No. Who are you going to go get? They worked out a couple, you know, UFL guys.
Right.
But that position has kind of been a black hole. And it's kind of coincided with the Saints struggling on offense when that position is a black hole. When they were playing well on offense, the tight end position was contributing. So that's a concern. And we did see good things from Dallin Hulker. Like, I think the rookie UDFA has shown himself well. But, man, you don't want to have to go in there relying on a UDFA in his rookie season at that position. And I don't know if any of these guys can block other than Foster Moreau. So, yeah, it's going to be a thing.
Yeah, and last year, what was he dealing with? A calf injury, right?
Yeah, it was a calf injury. And you do wonder if those two things are related, just in the sense of like, hey, when you're dealing with an injury, sometimes you overcompensate in another part of your body and then you develop injuries down the line. So who knows? We're not going to have a lot of information about that, but it's definitely something that, you know, you were expecting to hear about some kind of injury. You never want to hear like, okay, going to have surgery midway through the offseason. Like, a lot of these guys have surgery in the offseason, but you kind of want that to be right after the season, when you have the most amount of time possible to recover.
Sure.
You know, because a lot of times it's just cleanup surgery, stuff like Chase Young, right? Like, you're fixing something that you've been playing through so that you're not dealing with it next year. Well, if you wait this late into the offseason, it will probably impact training camp and at least some of your prep time. So this, I wouldn't be surprised if the Saints bring in a handful of other names at tight end in terms of just filling out that depth chart. And, you know, Jimmy Graham's one of those names where you're like, maybe.
I was going to say, does he have a cell phone with him while he's training for the Arctic Challenge?
Can he take a break from his rowing to play some football? I don't know. I find that highly unlikely, but you never know.
Yeah, I'm not sure where that would stand either. I would definitely think, though, I'd welcome back Jimmy with open arms, obviously, to this team. I felt like, you know, he's pretty productive in the limited action. We saw him a year ago. I think it was, what, 6 catches, 4 touchdowns, and everybody was always complaining, throw it to Jimmy Moore. And maybe in this Clint Kubiak system, he could take advantage of that more.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what I will say in terms of Jimmy is, like, we didn't hear about him last year really until right before camp. So if they did intend to bring him back, they are still on a schedule where they could do that. And it would not be necessarily a timeline issue. But let's move on. So the one bit of good news in this segment, we're going to talk about Chase Young, who, you know, talked to the media on Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember. One of those Tuesday, days.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
no, he's Wednesday. Sorry.
He's definitely not a soundbite machine. As someone who works for a radio station, that becomes a problem for us because we're trying to come up with like baits that we can play on the air. And he's not giving you any. He is not a talker. He's a talkless play type guy. But he does seem invested. He has been there. I've seen tweets of like people being like, oh, Chase Young wasn't there for minicamp. What a surprise. And it's like, no. I think you're misreading the situation because he was there for minicamp. We just did not see him on the field, which is always the plan as he works back from his neck injury. But he is there. He does seem invested, and that's a good thing. Tom Pelissero put out an update that he met with Dr. Atkins, the renowned neck surgeon or whatever it is exactly that he does, and got a positive update. So that's a good thing. The ideal scenario is he's there on the field for the first day of training camp. Now, he doesn't have to participate fully on the first day of training camp, but I would hope to see him out there at minimum working off to the side with trainers, as like we saw with Kool-Aid McKinstry's Stanley Morgan this week. And so it sounds like we're on track for that, or at least something close to that.
It was good to finally see Stanley. You mentioned him. It was one of those. It's like, where is this guy?
Where is this man? Number 14, he does exist. Kool-Aid as well in the 34. I always find it funny when cornerbacks wear those. It's like to me, that's always going to be a running back number.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. He looks bulkier than some of the other cornerbacks.
Absolutely. Thick dude.
But is that just because it's like Pete Werner looks like a small linebacker, but is it because he's in 20? You know?
No, I think he's got some mass to him in Kool-Aid.
He's definitely a stronger guy, and maybe he's a little bulkier than he will be at the start of camp because he hasn't really been able to. You know, when you deal with foot injuries, fitness becomes a question more so than like Chase Young. He'll be able to run and be in shape long before he gets out on the field just because of the nature of his injury, right? Kool-Aid, the nature of his injury is you can't run because it's a foot injury. So now that he is running, that's a good sign.
Definitely.
Whereas like Chase is more about working his way up to contact as opposed to Kool-Aid, which is more about probably working his way back into shape. So we'll see that as we go.
And that was something that you mentioned with Chase. He talked about it. He's like, I'm doing all the film study. I'm in the weight room hitting that. So when I'm ready to get on the field, I'm real ready to go.
Yeah, and he's a bigger guy. So it's, you know, the fitness is a bigger element for him just because, you know, you can balloon pretty quickly at the defensive end position. You know, you can look like a defensive tackle pretty fast if you're not able to do that exercise. Alante Taylor's also been dealing with an injury. Doesn't sound significant. It's an oblique injury, but he was not out there Wednesday or Thursday. And, you know, I have no issue with that. I think you'll be fine there. It did give some other guys some opportunities to step up. So we'll talk about that when we get there. Let's move into the Alvin Kamara portion of the program. As we talked about, he was there Tuesday, Wednesday. He did show up Thursday. He went through the walkthrough, then took off, you know, and it came out that he's looking for a new contract. He's in the final year of his 5-year deal that he was signed ahead. I'm sorry. He's in the second to last year, the penultimate year of the 5-year contract he signed ahead of the 2020 season. But you look at that, and I think it's clear to everyone, including Alvin, including his agent, including the Saints, that for all intents and purposes, this is the final year of that contract in terms of commitments. And that's only furthered by the fact that the Saints did not restructure that contract heading into this season. He's now the only player really that has not had their contract touch in terms of like star players or anyone with significant money that you can move forward, because the Saints did restructure Taysom Hill's contract.
Yeah, that was another positive news there.
I mean, I don't know how positive it is until you see what that amounts to. It's going to make life more difficult for them next year. So, and you are now committed to a 34-year-old injury-prone quarterback beyond this year. So it might not be a positive thing. We don't know. We'll have to see how it works. Like if Taysom Hill doesn't
free up cap space, at least right now.
Yeah, but why are you doing that? That's the question. Are you doing that because you're thinking, well, we might now have to trade Alvin and eat some of that cap hit that we were not anticipating? That's to me how it reads is you are now setting the stage for, well, if this all goes to shit and we have to absorb that hit this year, we can now do that. And we can make it clear to Alvin's camp that is possible.
Possible. I gotcha. They definitely don't want to do that though.
Cause they did. No. I put that kind of in the negotiating window of like,
All
shrewd decision making and preparation for that sort of thing. But because I saw people like, oh, this is so they can sign a tight end. You didn't need to free up cap space to sign a tight end. They had about $6 million in working cap space. Like
at least the tight ends that are out there right now for sure.
You're not handing anyone a $6 million contract. You're not handing a UFL player anything but the minimum, right? And you could bring in several minimum players, because in order to do that, you'd have to cut people anyway. So you're really just replacing them on the roster with that guy, you know, that one unguaranteed contract with another unguaranteed contract. Unless you were looking at a guy like Justin Simmons, like one of these bigger name free agents, which I don't think you are at this stage. So I don't know. That's going to be something. But to get more into Alvin, like to stick on Alvin more so than Taysom, you know, when you hear, okay, Alvin's looking for a new contract, what does that kind of read to you? How do you kind of react to that when you hear that news?
It's a little off-putting just for the fact that he's kind of had, I would say, down seasons, I think the last 2 years. But also, you know, you look at it, there's also other factors around it, including the offensive line, the offense called around him. I still consider him one of the better backs in the NFL. But, you know, you look at his deal right now, I think, what is he, the fourth highest paid running back in the league. But I understand he's looking for a little more security right now.
Yeah, he's going to get paid this season, right? He's going to get his money this season. And there's just no commitments beyond that,
right?
That you can say, well, you know, he's in their future plans, you know, and I understand kind of where both sides are coming from in that. Yeah, he has had a couple down years, right? But if I'm Alvin Kamara's camp, I'm like, yeah, well, that you just point at Pete Carmichael and say, all right, you know, send, you know, text Mickey, you know, a picture of Pete Carmichael on the sideline staring at his call sheet. And I think you'll get the idea. That said, you're not going to extend someone on that assumption that, oh, it's all going to be back to what we saw with Drew and Sean because, hey, he's gone and there's a new system. And without seeing how that system kind of works for him and how he works in that system, I mean, how much are you willing to commit? Now, if he goes out and balls out this year, yeah, you extend him off that contract and you're like, sure, fine. Yeah, you proved it. But you can't do that without proving it. And so the question becomes to me, what is Alvin seeking in this? Yeah. Is he just seeking security? Is he seeking an extra year on his deal? Kind of like Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis, right? Like they got extended, but you wouldn't say that they made a lot of money in that extension. You just say like they got an extra commitment from the team. So, I mean, to me, I kind of look at it like if Alvin is coming at this saying, I can perform at the level of Christian McCaffrey, so I want a deal like Christian McCaffrey with 2-year, $38 million extension to make you the highest paid running back in the NFL. No, that's a non-starter. Maybe after next year, if you come out and ball out and suddenly it's like, oh yeah, we need this, then yeah. But right now, no, there's no way. There's no way. And so are you looking for something in the range of a Derrick Henry, which is 2-year, $16 million? Because I think if you are, and it's just about that extra year, and you can get away with that extra commitment, I think the Saints do it. But it's going to come down to, I think both sides are going to play hardball because Alvin understands that he has all the leverage in this situation. Because this offense, if you don't have Alvin Kamara in it, it's in trouble.
Yeah, especially when you look at, obviously, too, what's behind him in that running back room. Jamal Williams, Kendra Miller, you know, some of the other younger guys, too, as well. Just, they're not Alvin, obviously.
No. And I mean, that's kind of what you could see. It's one of the helpful things about Alvin not being at OTAs. And he made it clear. One thing Alvin made clear, and I think there was intent behind this, was, okay, the absence from OTA was just me doing my normal thing. Like, and 3 days later, when he leaves camp in pursuit of a new contract for an obvious reason, it's like, that's for that. Me missing OTAs was just me doing my
normal
thing.
Right.
And, you know, he made it clear, Clint made it clear, neither him or DA would really weigh in on the situation regarding the contract, but they all made it clear that like Alvin has been in contact with Clint. He's been watching the OTA footage. He has access to that on his iPad. He works out three times a day in the morning. Like it's not an issue of him doing the work. So like there is a contract awkwardness on the table, but that wasn't what was building in OTAs. That said, you come back into it and you're like, okay, look at this room around me. You know, you drafted Kendra in the third round last year, but, you know, for a few reasons, you should not be necessarily confident like, oh, he's going to step into that role this year. You saw kind of a glimmer of that in week 18 last year, but nothing that makes you feel like, ah, yeah, okay, we can move on from Alvin. You know, this isn't like a Zeke Elliott, Tony Pollard situation in Dallas. No. And you got a chance to watch like 3 weeks of OTA practices with like NFL caliber running backs running around and doing stuff. And then Alvin shows up and you're like, okay, yeah, that's different. That guy is a star, and you don't get very far in the NFL without star players.
Clearly the best piece on that offense. I don't care, you know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, offensive line, AK's number one out there for the offense.
Yeah. And I mean, he's had, the reason I'd say like, hey, you know, we can look at the numbers and say, okay, there's been a drop off. You watch him out there and it doesn't, you know, you don't get when you watch an older running back running around, like you watch like David Johnson show up and you're like, this was once a star. Now he's not that right now. He is a role player at best in this scheme, right? Devontae Freeman was here a few years ago. Like he was once a star. He's not a star now. Like you don't get that impression with Alvin. You can still see like the way he moves, the contact balance. It's all there.
He's about to hit the dreaded 29-year-old wall right when training camp starts on July 25th there.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, the long-term commitment becomes difficult. But you look at a guy like Christian McCaffrey, who's the same age, essentially. He came out of the same draft class and has had a way heavier workload on him through his time in Carolina, where they basically just ran him into the ground. So, you know, from you can look over there and say, hey, I've taken care of my body better than he has in terms of the wear and tear. And one thing you can say about Alvin is he never takes hits. Like that's one of the most amazing things about Alvin. You go back through his career. I can't remember a time where, you know, there was a tackle and you're like, ooh, you know, like maybe there was one time on a kick return where he got laid out and you're like, ooh, we don't want to see that.
Right.
And you don't see him. You know, people complain that he gets out of bounds instead of taking hits, but like that's how you extend your career at the running back position. right? Look at Todd Gurley. Look at all the hits Todd Gurley took early in his career when he was getting run into the ground by the Rams. Where is he now? He's out of the NFL. Like, you can run a running back into the ground. And that's what the Rams did to Todd Gurley.
Yeah, get used and abused.
Exactly. Exactly. There's one Adrian Peterson, and we, like, he's like the exception to that rule, right?
Yeah.
Even later in his career, you could see, like, that's not the same guy. So I don't know. Like, I don't get that impression with Alvin, and that's why if I'm his camp, I'm like, you're not going to sell me on, well, I'm 29 now, so we're not going to pay you. So I don't know. To me, again, like, what's the resolution? I think it comes down to how much is Alvin seeking. Because if it's within a reasonable range, I don't think you have a huge issue with giving him that extra year. If it's not reasonable, if you're asking for a Christian McCaffrey type number, that's a problem. And so let's hear what Deuce had to say. We had Deuce McAllister on WWL yesterday, and he weighed in on this situation. Here's what he had to say.
Of the day, I think they both have a little leverage. I think that the Saints are probably a little embarrassed that it happened to one of their captains, one of their leaders, as far as this type of situation. But if you do go back and remember, this is not the first time that they've been at odds over a contract. And so you're surprised that it happened in this manner. I don't think that either side is pressed today. Now, if this was August, that would be a little bit different. So I think that, hey, you know, let's see if we can come up with something that makes both of us happy. And, you know, you can bet on yourself and say that I am going to go out and perform at the highest level and prove that I am worth it, you know, but have some security as far as guarantees, like we know that he's going to be able to hit or get. And if he doesn't, then the Saints have a way to get out of it. And, you know, he can go and say, hey, look, it was a short deal. I can go and prove it somewhere else if that should be the case. And so I do think that they figure it out because he is that engine that kind of makes it move. And it is critical. It is critical that they are able to run the football this upcoming season. And we know that they have not been very successful over the last couple of seasons. And so I'm not worried about Alvin missing time. Well, there's no time to miss over the next 4 or 5 weeks anyway, but I'm not truly even worried about him missing, you know, if it's a weekend of training camp. I don't think he would do that because now you're talking about getting fined because you're under contract. And so both teams, I think that they're probably a little bit embarrassed that it got to this point. But at the end of the day, I think that they will figure it out.
Yeah, and I do think, yeah, there's probably a little bit of annoyance more so than anything else on the Saints side of things, because it's like, they don't, like, why does this have to be like a public conversation? No. But I think there's frustration that it hasn't gotten any further than it has. And so that's why Alvin kind of made that. But, like, he knew what he was doing. It's a calculated move.
Right.
Right. I mean, he could have just gone to practice. He could have had these conversations behind the scenes and just gone to practice. And it's like, he had his agent kind of been like, yeah, we're seeking a new contract. That's going to be a conversation. Leaving and making it a very obvious situation. That's not a, like, he's not just doing that. Like, that's a planned move to get this out in the open and make everyone aware of the fact that it's like, hey, this is not hunky-dory the way that it might be being played out there. And so we'll see. And then, yeah, if he misses a weekend of training camp, he's gonna have to pay for it. But maybe that's the way you make it, you make it stick, that it's like, no, this is a thing. CJ Gardner-Johnson had a similar situation, but he did a hold in, right? Like, he just didn't work during training camp, which is kind
of weird. But I'm just going to be on the sideline, right?
Yeah, you avoid the fines that way. So we'll see. I mean, the Saints don't end up in this situation often. They're usually pretty good about extending players, right? Or moving on. It's typically not a protracted situation where we're constantly having to answer this question. I think the last real holdout we had was 2019 with Mike Thomas. There was some awkwardness in 2020, but it's tough to say exactly how far that got because it was the COVID season where, you know, there were no OTAs and we weren't really, the access wasn't the same for camp. So it was difficult, but yeah, either way, that's going to be the story of the offseason for the Saints. And, you know, I agree with Deuce, like, you know, if you feel like as a team, you can contend this season and that's your goal. And you feel like I do, that this is a massive kind of make or break season for Dennis Allen. And you need that offense to be kind of that driver that complements the defense for that to be the case. And you can make the argument that, hey, it was kind of this commitment to the old scheme that was holding everything back. You need Alvin. And Alvin knows that. So go pay Alvin.
Yeah, and like I think we talked about, obviously, this segment, too. It's like he showed up during the mandatory mini camp and he sees what's behind them, he's like, yeah, I've pretty much got this solidified. They need me.
They need me. Right. Like, he knows he has leverage here. And so we'll see. But all right, let's wrap up that segment. We're going to come back. We're going to go and do the mini camp takeaways, highlights, guys who stood out, guys who maybe fell flat a little bit, stuff like that. This is Inside Black and Gold. I am Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. Stick around.